We are in a sermon series reading through the book of Jonah. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to Jonah chapter 3. We'll be reading Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We'll be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version, and we'll have the verses up for you on the screen as well. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it with the message that I tell you.' And so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, 'By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. And let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish.' When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it." We just read the third chapter of Jonah. The first chapter of Jonah, we saw God give Jonah a command to go preach the word of God to Nineveh. And we saw that Jonah, in response, rebelled against that commandment. He fled and he failed God. And he proved that he was unworthy. And in chapter 2, we saw God bringing his discipline to Jonah, trying to get his attention, bringing suffering into Jonah's life so that Jonah would turn back and follow him. And we saw in chapter 2 that Jonah did. He had a change of heart. It took a lot of suffering and discipline before Jonah, with his pride and rebellion, was willing to lay that down and have a change of heart and be willing to follow the Lord again. But that is how chapter 2 ends, with Jonah repenting and having that change of heart. And so that is where we pick up in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, with the word of the Lord coming to Jonah a second time. A second chance. God has come a second time to Jonah. And Jonah did not deserve a second chance. When Jonah rebelled against God, what he deserved was death. And Adam in the Garden of Eden, when he rebelled and sinned against God, what he deserved was death. He didn't deserve a second chance. And likewise, you and I, when our sin and rebellion, none of us deserve another chance either. And imagine if that were the end. Imagine if that once you failed, you were just done. I worked at the Federal Reserve Bank out of college down on First and First, the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. And in the Federal Reserve Bank, they hold $2 billion in the vault. That was 20 years ago. Who knows how much it is now? $2 billion. And it was such a tight operation, no one was even allowed in the vault. A robotic car would come and distribute the funds to these different cages, locked cages, and tellers would come, and they would get locked in these cages. They were not allowed to come or go, and they would just be in there all day until their lunch break. And armored cars would come right away in the morning lining up, because banks all across Minnesota needed to get cash for their customers. And you could not be late. If you were late, you were fired. And there's so many different times in Minnesota where you can imagine being late with the weather and the traffic downtown, but there was no tolerance and no mercy, because there was a job that had to be done. And your job was to get there on time so the people of Minnesota and the banks could receive their cash. And it was incredible walking into that cash department every day, seeing the turnover. It was just so frequent that it snowed and somebody's car didn't start, or they got caught in traffic and they weren't able to make it on time. And in that case, they were removed from the building and they were terminated. And there's no reason that the bank can't operate that way. This is what needs to be done. This is what we're paying you for. If you can't do the job, then you're out. And there's no reason why God couldn't operate that way. I gave you my commandments. You rebelled and you've sinned. You're done. But the story of Jonah and the story of the Bible is a God who loves people so much that what he gives to us is not justice, but he has such a desire to save each and every person that he's created, that he's willing to give each and every person who's willing to repent another chance and to give them mercy. And we see God giving Jonah his mercy. Jonah's fled, he has failed, but he is willing to repent. And God is willing to give Jonah his mercy, his grace, and another chance. And when we recognize what justice is, when we recognize reality, what is truly just, then we won't go through life entitled anymore. Instead, we'll be grateful. When we realize that what is just for us to receive is death, when we realize that what we've received is mercy and another day of life and a second chance, we won't go through life entitled. We'll go through life with gratitude and joy for every morning that we wake up and we haven't received the death that we deserve, but instead we've given another opportunity, another day of life to follow the Lord. When we realize that great gift we've been given, we'll wake up with joy. Look at the gift I've received. When we wake up every morning and we think that we're entitled, that God must bless us, that we deserve his blessings, that we deserve this and we deserve that, that's when we go through life miserable. But if we go through life looking at reality, when we recognize that, as harsh as reality might seem, that is one of the great keys to finding joy in following Jesus Christ. Because we recognize every day I've been given an opportunity, another opportunity, another gracious gift from God. And every day that we go through life as believers in Jesus Christ, when we stand before the Lord and answer for what we've done that day, all of the sin that we've done, that we've repented of, all of that sin that's been removed by the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we stand before the judge on the day of judgment, it won't be a day to fear because all of that sin has been removed. The punishment is gone. And all that remains is the ways that we have followed God and been faithful and brought pleasure to him. On the day of judgment for the Christian, what it is a day of rewards. And we'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And if we want meaning and purpose in life, that brings meaning and purpose to every day. Because every day we wake up with another chance to follow the commandments of God which he's given us. Another chance to follow him and please him in some way. And when we do, we'll stand before the Lord. Whatever you manage to do to follow the Lord today on 7/20/2025, you'll stand before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And because of the ways we followed him, we will be able to experience his good pleasure with us for an eternity. We have a chance to please God today and then experience his pleasure with that. For that brings meaning, and that'll get you out of bed in the morning. When you wake up on 7/21/2025 on Monday and you don't want to get up, you don't want to go to work, that'll get you out of bed. Today, I've got a chance to do something that will bring pleasure to God that I will get to experience forever. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, he wakes up and he has not been given the death that he deserves, but he's been given another chance to follow God. God's commandments have come to him another time. And what has God been giving you a second chance? What commandments of God have come to you that he's given you another chance to follow today? Is it a chance to begin to read the Word of God with your spouse and lead your family to Christ? Is it an opportunity to go share the gospel with others? Is it an opportunity to serve and give and start spreading the gospel through his church? Here Jonah's been given the command of the Lord a second time to follow it. It's to go spread the gospel to people who need it. And we've been given that same command. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. God speaking through the Apostle Paul says that all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Here through Jesus, God has reconciled us to him. He's given us a gift that we don't deserve, and then he desires for us to go and tell others about that gift. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus has given us something far greater than we deserve. He's given us the gift of life, the gift of an opportunity to follow him. And he desires for us just to go tell others about the mercy that we've received. And that is still incredibly scary. I remember so many times having the opportunity to tell people about the Lord, but in fear and spiritual immaturity, I passed. Just like Jonah. I passed on following that commandment. It can be frightening. It can be intimidating to tell others about Jesus. It can be hard to start that conversation. If you're late today in the announcements, I just mentioned these decals that we have. You can put them on the back of your car, on your computer. They say "Lakes Free." It's just a great conversation starter. People are going to see this and say, "Oh, did you find a free lake?" And you'll be able to say, "No, actually, every lake that has a public boating access is free." But this has nothing to do with that. This is Lakes Free Church. Would you like to come? I was we had just moved here. I'm from the area. You know, I grew up in Blaine. And I had worked so hard for so long to develop relationships to spread the gospel. And we had moved here. And in 8 months, we haven't done that at all with our neighbors, with the people around us. And I was starting to get convicted of that. And I was walking around the block the other day with my kids, teaching my little girl to ride a bike. She can't start off yet. I have to hold her handlebars, and then she starts, and then I let her go, and I have to chase her to make sure that when she stops, she doesn't fall. And round the block we go, and there was a woman who was bringing out her trash, and she keeps her yard so nice and with such beautiful flowers. I just complimented her, "Your yard looks so beautiful. We love every time we come by." And she started telling me about her life, and she point to the RV parked in her driveway that they've never used. And she said, "It was always our dream to travel. Once my husband retires, that was always our dream." And she said, "Ever since he retired, though, it's just been one health setback after another, to the point where he's bedridden and he looks like he's going to die." And I had an opportunity to share the gospel. And I said, "What you said is exactly why I believe in heaven and in Jesus Christ. The thought that all of us are just accidents who've risen to life in conscious contemplation to have love and hope and dreams, only for all of that to just end in death and amount to nothing, seems just far more ridiculous and cruel than anything I could ever imagine. It makes far more sense that instead that Jesus and God created every person, that something has gone wrong, and that he's fixed it and saved us on the cross so that we could have things be made right and experience eternal life in heaven, which we always were meant for. That makes far more sense to me. This is exactly why I believe in Jesus in heaven." And my neighbor needed somebody to tell her the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Nineveh needed somebody to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Chisago and Lindstrom, North Branch and Scandia and Forest Lake need people to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people there that need to hear the word of God. And who is going to go tell them? You know, I'm amazed as I go through ministry how many people have no idea who Jesus is. And I'll sit there and I'll talk to them about Jesus. And I'll say, have you read the Bible? They'll say no. I'll give them a Bible and say, have you read John 3:16? And they'll say no. And I'll say, open up to John 3:16. And they've never even heard of John. They don't know where it is. They don't know anything about the Bible. And you have to explain the numbers on the page. The big ones are the chapters, the little ones. It's incredible. There's so many people who need to hear. And who is going to go tell them? Can we send another storm over Jonah's grave and beat that dead horse and get him back up to go? No, he's gone. How about Jesus? Is Jesus going to go tell them? No, Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. You and I are his body on earth. We are to go. You are to go. And when we prepare ourselves, when we spend time in prayer, when we look for those opportunities, they will come. Who knows? You might put a sticker on the back of your van and have three conversations this week about Christ. The world needs God's message. And here Jonah is going to take the opportunity that he's been given, and he's going to change. And he's going to turn and follow God and go bring that message. And it's a godly message that God gives to Jonah to bring. In verse 2 of chapter 3, the Lord tells Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. It sounds somewhat confrontational. Go call out against this great city. Nineveh was the most violent and powerful city on earth. And God has called Jonah with a message to call out against it. A lot of times we hear a lot of criticisms about messages like Jonah's. And is it a godly message? Well, the word of the Lord came to Jonah in verse 1, and God tells Jonah to go out with this message that he tells them, and it's a message against it. And we hear a lot of criticism about this type of message. Satan wants us to not bring this type of message. I was amazed when I became a pastor how many people come up to me and tell me, they say, don't tell people about sin. Don't talk about sin. Tell people, you know, that just tell them that God loves them. And they cut out half of the truth of God. And Satan wants us to cut out half of the truth of God. Satan does not want us to talk about sin because Satan wants us to keep doing it. And you'll hear criticism against messages like this. People say this is not a godly message, or they'll say it's not a Christ-like message. They'll say this is an Old Testament type of message. Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 5. Is this a Christ-like message? Is it a Christ-like message to call out against? On chapter 9, verse 5 of Luke, Jesus tells his followers, he says, wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust for them from your feet as a testimony against them. Here Jonah's message seems to be not only one from God, but one that's very similar to what Jesus Christ said. There are times, there are places where the truth of God requires a message that is against what people are doing, what people have chosen. And the truth that we read today is that God's message confronts sinners. I don't like confrontation. One of the reasons that I think Jesus is God, there's a variety of reasons, but one of the most powerful reasons, I think, is that you read the words of God page after page in the Old Testament. You read these words of God as he prepares the people for him, when he takes on flesh and for his coming. He prepares them with his words page after page. And then he comes and you look at the words of Christ and Jesus speaks exactly as God speaks throughout the Old Testament. He's been preparing us for his coming, and when he comes, we can tell that this is him. He's so consistent. And here there's a message that needs to be preached. It's a message that's needed because of sin. It was needed 3,500 years ago when the Lord called Abraham. It was needed 2,800 years ago when God sent Jonah. It was needed 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, and it's a message that's needed today. And it's bold. And it's confrontational in a world that would rather not have confrontation. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible tells us about the other way that we can go. Instead of bringing a godly message, we can be false teachers tickling the ears of people who do not want to be confronted. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Jonah knows how people are. He's a prophet. He has friends who are prophets. He knows how they've been treated as they've been brought God's message. He knows how terrifying what God has called him to do was. That's why he fled when he first heard it. Or one of the reasons why he fled. Fleeing implies fear. You know, sometimes for those of us who especially have grown up in the church, because we read this as children, we forget that what we're reading is not a children's story. It is a high-stakes, action-packed adventure. And Jonah is risking life and limb to go bring the world a message that they need. And it's terrifying, but Jonah overcame that fear. I've overcome that fear. You can overcome that fear. And just like Jonah, you can go tell people about him. And in Matthew 28:20, Jesus promises that as you do so, he will be with you. And if you haven't felt God with you lately, go out and spread the gospel. You'll feel him with you. Amen. When I had the opportunity to start talking to my neighbor about Christ, I felt God with me. And Jonah overcomes his fear. And we can overcome our fear. Because gospel confrontations are good. Nineveh needs to be saved. And it's good for them to be confronted and hear a message of salvation. Nineveh needs to hear a message that they are going the wrong way. A message that makes that clear. The path you are on leads to destruction. And that there's a different way. As Christians who want to build relationships with the world, and this is a good desire, we desire to highlight similarities between us, between the church, and between those who don't believe, to build those relationships. Look, we're just like you. And it's true. There's many ways in which we're just like other people. We're not perfect. We need God's mercy every day. However, our gospel message needs to be clear. There's something very different that God has done in us. Very different that other people do not have. If we bring a false gospel, if we bring a false gospel that is just parallel to the way of sin and say, look, it's just like what you're doing. You just need to merge this way and your way and head the same direction. Then we're preaching a false gospel that at best creates deceived people with false assurance. And we will not see salvation. What we'll see is deceived people who continue on the path to destruction. What we have to have is a gospel that confronts And what we have to do is trust that God has been working in the hearts of the people we're speaking to, that God has gone before us and he's begun convicting them of the way that they're on, and that they've begun to grow tired of lies and sin and death. And we have to have a gospel that confronts that and shows them a different way and trust that they've been desiring that. Are you tired of the way you're on? Because there's another way. And it creates the greatest difference imaginable. Yes, I'm just like you in so many ways, but there's one massive difference. I've been forgiven of my sin by Jesus Christ because I've committed my life to the Lord. And that means I'm going this way. And I'm headed to eternal life. And if you'd like to join me, God will do the same thing for you that he's done for me. All that you need to do is turn and repent and go a different way. The way of Jesus Christ is completely different than the way of sin. And are we ready for that? Are you ready for that? Have you heard the word of God before? Have you merely heard a half-truth and continued down the way you'd been going? If so, the Lord can do the same thing for you that he's done for so many of those around you today. The Lord can do the same thing for you as he did for the people of Nineveh. Are you tired of a way of sin and lies and death? There's another way. It's Jesus Christ, and it's the way of truth and life. And this is the word of God. This is the message that God gives to Jonah. It requires boldness. It requires a confrontation of sin. But there's something else in Jonah's message as well. In verse 3 it says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Nineveh's 3 days to walk through this city. Jonah gets one third of the way through. And he calls out. And it's a summary of his message that we read. It's only 5 words in the Hebrew. Surely Jonah said more than this. But the message is summarized with a message of the need to repent and a coming judgment upon sin and evil. And is Jonah's message here godly? Here Jonah calls out and he gives a blanket statement of judgment upon an entire city. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Could you summarize any words of Christ like that? If you turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 and 24. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, it says, "Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." And here we have Jesus echoing a very similar message that 800 years ago he had given to Jonah. Jonah comes with a very godly message. He comes with a very Christ-like message. And here there's more to that message. The people of Nineveh believed God in verse 5. Jonah gets a third of the way through, and God had been working in the people of Nineveh. Jonah doesn't even get to the middle of the city. He's a third of the way in. One day in, these people were ready for the word of the Lord. They were ready for a different way. When Jonah had been told to go, he trembled in fear and he fled. But God had been preparing these people's hearts. They were tired of the way they'd been going. And here they call for a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And it's the people who start crying out to God, and it reaches up to the king. It wasn't a top-down movement. It was from the bottom up. The king didn't start it and say, hey, we all need to do this. And all the people heard it first. And it was just such a strong movement, it got all the way to the top. These people were so ready for the word of the Lord. The king himself removes his robe. He also humbles himself and repents. And it says, call out mightily to God. And while Jonah's message is summarized in those five words, he must have said more, because everyone there recognized the possibility of Yahweh's mercy if they repented and turned. God's message confronts sinners. But God's message also offers hope of mercy to sinners. The king says, who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. God's message offers hope of mercy to sinners. And we receive that hope of mercy by turning and having a desire for God's commandments. Instead of having a desire to continue to sin, there's a desire to turn and follow the Lord. And how easy this message was received. And the reason why is that God did it. The Lord was working in their hearts. What we can't see in the book of Jonah is all of the ways that God was softening the hearts of these people so they'd be ready to receive him. And God has been working in the hearts of people around us. And we can't see it, but will we take that step of faith and trust that God has been working, the Holy Spirit has been working on people, and he desires for us to bring the gospel so that he can go from working on them to working in them? John chapter 6, verse 44 tells us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. For every person who comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit has gone before and softened their hearts. Look at how long God had been softening the heart of my neighbor. God has been doing that to the people around you. You've got an incredible opportunity to offer to them a different way. And as we read through the book of Jonah, so many people have a hard time swallowing that Jonah was saved by being swallowed by a whale. But that miracle is nothing compared to the miracle we read about in chapter 3. For the real miracle in Jonah is the miracle of God working on people's hearts to bring them to repentance and salvation. The real miracle of Jonah is that God softened the most wicked and rebellious city on earth. What a miracle as the Holy Spirit worked on their hearts. The real miracle is that the righteousness of Christ, who would come 700 years later, that Jesus would live a perfect life in our place, that he would follow all of God's commandments as we were supposed to. The real miracle is God took that life lived 700 years later, and the Holy Spirit applied it to the hearts of the people of Nineveh. And that these wicked, evil people received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The real miracle of Jonah is the miracle that the Holy Spirit did in Jesus Christ as he rose from the grave and came back to eternal life. And the miracle of Jonah is that the Holy Spirit took that resurrection 700 years later and applied that life to the people in the city of Nineveh. The real miracle is that Jesus Christ took our punishment and sin on the cross, and the miracles of the Holy Spirit takes that sin and punishment from us and gives it to Jesus Christ. For the people of Nineveh were saved the same way that the people today are saved. It's through Jesus. They looked forward to the moment of their salvation on the cross, not knowing how or necessarily when it would come. And we look back to Jesus 2,000 years later with incredible benefit and blessing of seeing that our grace has come. And that is the miracle in the book of Jonah. The real miracle is when you can look in the eyes of people and see the difference Jesus has made in their life. I remember I was preaching, and this guy and this gal, this couple, they came to church and they sat in the back. And I'd be preaching, and I'd be looking out, and they'd be fighting in the seats. And the wife was clearly the one who was coming to church and dragging her husband. And he would be getting up to leave in the sermon because he'd be so angry and offended. And she'd be trying to hold him there. And I'd have people come up to me after the service and say, I think you should maybe know that there's this couple, you know, down the row from me. And they were literally fighting in the aisle. We just thought you might want to know. Maybe you want to go talk to them. And so I did. I'd finish a sermon, I'd race out to try to beat that guy out the door, and I'd try to catch up to him and be like, hey, how are you doing? My name is Jeremy. Well, how'd you learn about our church? And the man wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't even look at me. Treated me like I didn't even exist as he raced out the door. And then one Sunday I'm preaching, and lo and behold, whose eyes are as wide as saucers? Fascinated by every word, I look out and it's this guy. He's just sitting there looking like this. And I go up to him in the foyer afterwards and he treats me like I'm his best friend. And I say, if I may ask, what has changed from last week to this week? And he said, I had a dream from the Lord that I missed the rapture. And that I received his judgment. And so he said, I'm here to follow Jesus Christ. And the next week he came and he brought his friend from the reserves in full uniform. And he came up to me and he said, she doesn't know Jesus and I'm not cool with that. And I had an opportunity to lead her in a prayer of salvation and commitment to Jesus Christ. What a miracle that God does. What a miracle that he does through Jonah and his message in the book of Jonah to the people of Nineveh. What a miracle he does in people's lives today when you can look in their eyes and you can see that they're on a different way. And God did not judge Nineveh. And if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance, God won't judge you either. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it said, God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And God relents at sinners' response of repentance. God relented from bringing his judgment on the people of Nineveh when they repented. And God will relent on bringing his judgment upon you when you repent. And you now have an opportunity when you put your faith in Jesus Christ to whatever you do that day, however you follow God's commandments, to begin storing up treasures for yourself in heaven and eternal rewards at the pleasure of the one who created you, that you have turned and believed in his son.